So like Tom said, we're just going to breeze through, give people kind of an overview of how we've used high tunnels and actually other types of covering systems. So you get the high tunnel picture from me and from Kathy, and then we move on to selective nettings and such. We started working in high tunnels over cherries back around 2005. But actually, this idea of modifying the climate for fruit crops goes way back into the 15th century to Stefano's homeland with the Medicis and their citrus and their lemon-potted collections that they would bring in into the wintertime. So it's not a new idea that we're talking about, but today these orchard covering systems are quite diverse. We have a lot of different plastics with different light transmission properties, and any time that we put any sort of covering, whether it's a net or plastic over an orchard, we have to think about all the other factors that we're changing, the other microclimatic conditions. So we're changing air and soil temperatures, changing the quantity and the quality of light. We're changing the exposure to rainfall. Of course, that's where I got into it initially with cherries and their propensity to crack in the rain. We change wind. We change humidity. All of these then affect a broad cascade of physiological processes. We're affecting photosynthesis. We're affecting respiration. We're affecting overall growth. We can affect the morphology of the plant, changes with different wavelengths of light. We affect the synthesis of secondary compounds such as anthocyanins, other phenolics that have implications for coloration of fruit or protection from certain insects or diseases or susceptibilities that increase or decrease. So, as I said, we got started in covering systems with the interest in rain cracking, but also there are light-colored cherry varieties that bruise quite easily. So the protection from wind has given us advantages of wind bruising reductions. We can alter ripening of cherries. We can alter their protection from frost, protection from birds, protection from certain diseases. I can go out and I can prune and harvest cherries in any kind of weather, which is quite nice because cherries are very susceptible to many rain-driven diseases. So I'll give you just a brief overview of some of our experiences and also a brief overview of some of the different covering systems that we've worked with as well as we've seen around the world. The United Kingdom is really one of the ground zeros for high tunnels over cherries. Haygrove High Tunnel Company originated basically as a company that grew up from growers of strawberries and growers of cherries, looking for a way to preserve their industries. I would say that probably the UK would have no strawberry production or cherry production if it was not for these covering systems. And nowadays, I'd say more than 90% of the cherry orchards in the UK are under some sort of protection. Norway is another cherry industry, a very small one, but one of the latest in the world. And so they have a market niche, and they would not exist without orchard covers and high tunnels. Sometimes in Norway, it can rain continuously for 21 days during cherry harvest, on and off. China has these very interesting half tunnels, passively heated. They're always facing south with a wall of earth or a wall of brick or a wall of stone that absorbs heat in the daytime. They often, you can see the black, maybe I guess use this pad, we can see the black insulative pads. Used to be bamboo and that sort of thing. Now they're a little bit higher tech. Oops. For passive protection of capturing of that heat during the nighttime and then opening them back up to capture more heat during the day. They've expanded not only from these half tunnels to fully passively heated greenhouse and growing of cherries. And you can see that large cherry there. That's my hand. That looks like plum. It's not a plum. That's an actual cherry. It's Tyotin from Washington State. There are other kinds of row covers, orchard covers. These bone covers go over individual cherry rows. You can see little bits of darker white there in the cover. That's a flap that covers netting. And so the idea of these covers is that those flaps can rise with heat and vent passively. So in the summertime, you don't build up too much heat. which is one of the challenges we have with high tunnels. How do we vent a high tunnel that is a dome shape that captures heat in the top of the dome in the middle of summer? Then as we move to narrower and narrower architectures of tree fruits, cherries included, we can see that we can also make narrower covers. And so this is another approach to dealing with excessive heat during the hot summer, the ripening time for many of our tree fruits. And you can't quite tell in this picture, but those small covers are underneath an overall bird net. So here we have a combination of covers and nets. And then there are the retractable roof type orchards. This is our research orchard at MSU. The company that has built this is called the Cravo Company, but they've now installed these in commercial orchards, cherry orchards, in South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and there's one in the U.S. out in Washington State that's just gone in. This is the Cadillac of covering systems. You can open it and close it and tie it into a weather station to program it for various types of operations, and you can change those operations over the course of the growing season, but you also pay a huge price for it. In 2010, we then pulled some of our cherry orchards out of some of our tunnels, and we put in apricots, nectarines, and hybrid plums, such as plumcots and pluots and apriums. And so we've done some work in that area of stone fruits as well. And then I'll also show you kind of the counter to what Con will talk about later, where in California there's too much light and too much heat. In Michigan, we have the ability to put some tunnels up. You can see up in the corner of this picture, right-hand corner, if I can find the mouse, there we go. Those are high tunnels there over just a portion of their vineyards. And so these vineyards are using long-season wine grapes that we typically can't grow in our cold climate viticultural area of northern Michigan. This is at the northern part of the Lower Peninsula. And they are able to accumulate up to 20 to 25 degree days to fully ripen their season-long grapes, such as Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, Nebbiolo, Malbec. And they are producing award-winning wines. So the research that we've done has shown, first, that we had lower yields. You can see there's 6.7 versus 12.2 tons. But the fruit quality was quite good. You can see very large fruit here. And we said, why do we get half the yields? And why were we getting yellow fruit on the left there, or the right up there, compared to the left? Well, that's cutting out ultraviolet light in the plastic. So our biosynthesis of anthocyanins was affected. The next year, we used bumblebees instead of honeybees, and we found that our yields were equal inside and outside. But interestingly, our fruit size was still larger, even with the same yields. So we're seeing that the better water relations under covers give us larger fruit size. And we found that has held true in our stone fruit studies. Larger fruits there on the left, but the anthocyanin production changes in those apricots. On the right is outside, on the left is under the tunnel. And yet with nectarines, it had no effect on the anthocyanin production in the skin of those stone fruits. So different stone fruits have different apparent biosynthetic pathways that respond to that ultraviolet light. We can protect from bacterial leaf diseases, such as leaf spot, bacterial fruit diseases. We have to worry about wind tunnel management. Here I'm just going to show you that we have had three different tunnels destroyed over the course of the last 13 years. So you have to take a lot of different factors into account in protecting those. We can protect from frost with using different heaters. We've looked at how to design the tree to optimize our productive area in that expensive real estate. And so we'll summarize by saying that we can reduce the risk of things like rain-induced cherry cracking. We improve fruit size. We can improve fruit quality and appearance. We have better leaf health, which gives us better storage carbohydrates, better winter survival, more efficient water use, less wind and evapotranspiration under protective covers and tunnels. We've reduced things like Japanese beetle damage, bird damage, eliminated cherry leaf spot, which is a fungal disease, eliminated bacterial canker and bacteria spot. We can manipulate bloom and early ripening. We do have problems with wind damage. We have problems with venting of summer heat. Their blush formation may be reduced in some species, and we still have problems like brown rot and mildew. So that's a very quick overview. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Greg.